The following is a continuation of the Sunday feast lecture given by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, recorded on April 6th, 2003 in Mumbai, India.
Bharat was being offered the position of the king of the world. And factually, he was 100% perfectly qualified to do that service. He had all the intelligence and the skills to be a perfect king. And Ram was ordering him to do it, begging him to do it. But he didn't want it. He only wanted to be the servant of the servant. This is bhakti, real bhakti. Do we want position? Do we want respect? Do we want some powers and some facilities? Bharat didn't. He only wanted service. And it wasn't just lip service he was offering. He lived by his principle. Should I continue? Thank you. Lord Rama was adamant. He was displaying that integrity. It was his father's instruction to him to go to the forest. It wasn't exactly his instruction. Actually, his father wanted him more than anyone to stay, but to protect the integrity of his father's honor. He was willing to remain there. This is a very profound statement. Srila Prabhupada explains in one beautiful purport that if a servant misbehaves, it will be a blemish on the name of his master. If a disciple does not act properly, that will be a stain on the image of his spiritual master. Real disciple is one who will live and even die in such a way to protect the dignity of the good name of his guru and Krishna. At any cost, that is love. So Lord Ram, he was justified to return. Everyone was begging, begging, and begging. But to protect the honor of his father's name, he chose to remain in the forest. He would not even consider anything else. This is such sublime character. When Bharat understood that Rama's resolve was unshakable, he brought out his sandals, wooden shoes, paduka, placed them on the ground. Actually, the whole procession to Chitrakoot, he was worshiping those sandals. And he carried them on top of his head. He placed them before Lord Ram and spoke from his heart. Please place your feet in these wooden shoes. I will worship these sandals as the king of Ayodhya. I will remain the servant of your sandals for the next 14 years. I will mat my hair. I will wear only tree bark. And I will live on the outskirts of Ayodhya for the next 14 years. And if you do not return at that time, I will give up my life by entering into fire. Lord Ram stepped into those shoes. Bharat placed them on his head. On Ram's order, Bharat returned. But he did not return to Ayodhya. He went to a forest on the outskirts of Ayodhya of the name Nandigram. There he made a simple hut made out of leaves and twigs. He matted his own hair and wore only the bark of trees. And he only ate some simple roots from the ground, and sometimes took barley soaked in cow urine. It's actually very good for health. He lived that way for 14 years. He did the service of a perfect king, but did not accept any of the position or the facilities of a king. He had to go through all the headaches of managing a kingdom, but with none of the opulences that are meant to come with it. He just stayed in Nandigram, performing tapasya. And any question that ever came for him to decide as king, he just, on his hands and knees, with folded palms, presented his thoughts to Ram's shoes. 24 hours a day, Bharat worshipped Ram's sandals. Gave all credit and all power to Ram's sandals, knowing that they were none different than Ram himself. Such an example. He did all the work, but accepted no credit, position, or facility. That is determination. But actually, that is everyone's position. Krishna is the proprietor of everything. Krishna is the enjoyer of everything. We are the servant. But even in the pursuit of service, Maya creeps in somehow or other through that false ego, or from the false egos of others. From within and without, that desire may erupt within our heart that I need facility, I need position, I need respect. Otherwise, how could I do my service? I deserve it. Whenever Maya puts that thought in your mind, remember, Bharat, Remember his example. He wanted to do the most difficult service and take nothing for himself. That is pure bhakti. Nothing is mine except the right to serve. Yes, Bharat lived 14 years in tree bark, sleeping on the cold ground with some grass, drinking cow urine, and worshipping Ram's shoes while ruling the entire state. Actually, we may be given many, many positions, and we may have to utilize certain facilities, but that spirit should always be there within our hearts, that it is all Ram's. I am servant of the servant of the servant. And whatever may happen, whatever temptations, whatever obstructions, our determination should remain. Actual determination is we remain humble even when there's success, praise, and respect. That is difficult, but we must be determined. At the end of the 14 years, Lord Ramchandra, having defeated Ravana and placing Vibhishan as the king of Sri Lanka, decided to return to Ayodhya. On a beautiful celestial airship, Pushpaka, he traveled through the skyways. The Lord told Hanuman that you should go first to Nandigram and tell Bharat that I am returning. Explain everything that happened in the past 14 years. And then tell him that if he has the inclination or the desire to remain as king, that I will honor him and serve him faithfully. But if he desires for me to be king, then he can arrange for the coronation ceremony and call the citizens of Ayodhya to greet me. Hanuman jumped. And when Bharat saw him coming in the airwaves, he became very excited. Hanuman, the dearest servant of Sri Ram. They embraced with great love. And Bharat heard the message of Lord Sri Ramchandra. He became ecstatic, ecstatic. Hanuman said, within the hour, Ram will be arriving. So Bharat called Shatrughna, instructed him, send the messages throughout Ayodhya to decorate the entire city pompously to welcome Sri Ram back. Arrange for coronation. We will have a wonderful procession. He's coming here to Nandigram within the hour. When this message reached the ears of the residents of Ayodhya, there was singing, there was dancing. For the first time in 14 years, people felt happy. Immediately, beautiful garlands were being strewn everywhere. The streets were being washed with sandalwood oil and fragrances. Beautiful gateways were being constructed. Wonderful royal procession was being organized. And the citizens were lined on the roads to greet Ram back home to Ayodhya. Bharat could see on the horizon the airship Pushpaka coming closer and closer and closer. His heart was overflowing with love and ecstasy. Now we see many politicians today, when they have a post, they definitely do not want to give it up. If they lose the election, they're usually not very happy. Or if they get so old that they can't continue, they usually, with many reservations, give it to someone else. But here was Bharat. He was the king of all directions. And he was in the greatest ecstasy to just offer it all back to Lord Ramchandra. When the Lord descended, the first person to greet him was Bharat, who fell flat like a rod at the lotus feet of his Lord. The Lord picked him up. After 14 years of separation, they embraced, bathing each other with the tears of their love. Bharat brought the sandals and placed them at Ram's feet and said, "My Lord, in the form of your sandals, you have been ruling this kingdom. Now, please take your place on the throne." He offered him his life. Then was the glorious celebration. That historical procession from Nandigram to Ayodhya, where all the citizens, in the bliss of transcendental happiness after 14 years of separation, they loudly, very loudly, glorified the holy names of the In that procession, Bharat held the white umbrella that only the king was to use over Ram's head. Hanuman offered chamara. Shatrughna held the royal bow and arrow of Ram. Sita Devi also performed menial service of carrying sacred water. Seeing him with his matted hair and wearing the tree bark was very painful to the citizens of Ayodhya, but he was back. On Vishishtamuni's instruction, his head was shaved, and the royal garments were brought before him as he was coronated as the king of Ayodhya. So from this brief summary, we can understand really what is determination. To withstand temptation. To withstand the temptation of personal selfish desires. and to always be fixed in our conviction that I am the servant of the servant of the servant. These great personalities demonstrate to such an illustrious degree the qualities of pure heart. And ourselves, we should learn from their example, because that is why they perform these pastimes, to teach us. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has no need to come to this world. He is Atmaram, self-satisfied in the spiritual realm, performing his lila with his eternal associates. But he comes with his associates to this world to show by their example what we should hold as sacred in our lives, even if it is very far away from us, even if it seems impossible to follow. We have so many desires, so many aspirations, so many attachments in our hearts. We may not be able to immediately just give them up. But what is our ideal? What are we hoping for? What are we longing for? What is our goal? Somehow we have to go through our life with many prescribed duties to be performed. But really, what is our aspiration? What is held sacred within the core of our hearts? That is what is being taught by the great souls. And the more we hear about these personalities and their characteristics, the more we become influenced by them. Bharat did not want to be king. Bharat did not want to be God. He wanted to serve God. That's all. No facility, no position, nothing but service. That quality is what attracts Krishna's mercy to flow fully into our lives. Krishna's mercy is always flowing, but according to our desire, we are receptive to that mercy. It is said that the substance of a man's character, or a woman's character, is the ideal that they aspire to achieve in their life. The substance of a person's character is what they hold sacred, what they're trying to achieve. If our ideal is money or power or position or fame or popularity, then we have not much character at all. But what the Holy Scriptures are showing us is the ideal we should hold as the most sacred aspiration of our life. And what is that? Gopi Bharthur Padakamala Yoradas Das Das Anudas. Everything for Krishna. Everything for Krishna's devotees. To be an instrument of Krishna's compassion in this world, not for me, but as a service to others, as a vessel of Krishna's mercy, because that is what most pleases Krishna. Unless we understand what is really the goal of life, we have nothing to aspire for. In this age of Kali, there is hardly anyone in this human society that really understands what the real perfection of the goal of life is. What is the real need of the soul? The need of the soul is to love. And real love, pure love, is demonstrated by Bharat. In Krishna's Leela, we have heard the story, but we should hear it again and again. Because it gives us the ideal we should hold sacred, always above our head. And whatever desires come into our heart, we should actually calculate the nature of that desire by comparing it to our sacred ideal. Then life becomes actually very simple. Krishna had headache. He told his devotee, "Bring me dust from the feet of my devotees. That will cure my headache." The sages, they knew the scriptures. Putting our feet in Krishna's head means we go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. But when gopis of Brajbhumi were asked, immediately they collected the dust, packaged it, and said, "Go, go, quick, fast. You're actually giving this? Yes. Do you know what will happen if I put this dust from your feet on Krishna's head? Yes, we will go to hell forever, no problem." If our going to hell brings Krishna even a moment of happiness, that is our ultimate aspiration in life. Now we can speak these things, but honestly, how many of us are willing to go to hell for the rest of eternity to make Krishna happy? Raise your hand if you are willing to do so. Haribo. The gopis were willing to do so. We are not willing to do so. That is our problem. When we start thinking about all the frivolous desires we have in life, I want a new car. I want a new computer. I want new clothes. I want more up-to-date ornaments. I want better comforts and facilities. We may have these desires. They are not necessarily bad. After all, we can't all live in tree bark drinking cow urine for 14 years. However, whatever desires we have, we should compare. How does this relate to Bharat? How does this relate to the gopis of Vrindavan? And then we understand things as they are. And then we have something to aspire for. Krishna consciousness is, for most persons, a gradual process. We can't just immediately jump to the platform of Srila Haridas Thakur and chant 300,000 attentive names of Krishna every day before drinking a drop of water. Try it. See how many days you survive. But according to our capacity, at least we should try to chant 16 rounds as attentively as possible. And we should compare. This is Haridas Thakur. This is the standard. To offenselessly and lovingly cry out Krishna's name at all times. Krishna! Some of us, we somehow or other get through Ekadasi fasting, and we think, I am very good. Raghunath Das Goswami, he would take a poundful of buttermilk once every day or two. Nothing else. And when he'd be drinking that poundful of buttermilk, he would feel, I am so fallen that I'm taking all this precious time away from my service to Krishna just to enjoy my senses. How many of you could live like that? You will die. How could he live so simple and yet have absolutely not a single trace of false ego? If a person does one near Jali Kadasi, they start thinking, I'm a liberated soul. Look at all these people eating tapioca and potatoes, fallen souls. But me, not even water, near Jala. But Raghunath Das Goswami, he's thinking, I'm so fallen, so attached to sense gratification. I'm eating this pad of buttermilk every few days. Our aspiration is never to imitate such souls, but to follow in the footsteps of the spirit of their humility and their devotion. It's incredible. Raghunath Das Goswami's example is so sublime. Not only his behavior, but the inner quality of his consciousness. Never wanting any position, never wanting any facility, never wanting any respect. The only thing he wanted in his life was just to serve the Vaishnavas, to serve the Lord, to please the Lord, and to constantly chant the holy names. And our beloved Srila Prabhupada, he just did whatever was best for us. He didn't want anything. Even after 3 heart attacks, paralysis, going on the Jaladutta, living in the ghettos of New York for practically a year with no results, when he finally established a movement, had followers, had centers, he actually invited his godbrothers to come and be the acharyas and the presidents, and he was just willing to serve them. He wrote letters. Come, you be guru, you be president of this international mission. I will serve you. I've established it. Now you come. He didn't want anything for himself. But then no one was willing to come because it was just too difficult. So he had to do it all by himself. And he accepted the position of founder Acharya. He accepted the position of the spiritual master of the whole movement without desire for facility, comforts, or position. He just did it to serve. Like Bharat. As Bharat gave all credit and all honor to the sandals of Sri Ram, Srila Prabhupada gave all credit and all honor to his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And it was that power of his pure, selfless desire that transformed people's hearts all over the world. When we are humble, when we have that spirit of real service, we become perfectly transparent so that the causeless, unlimited mercy of Krishna flowing down through parampara can perfectly flow from our hearts, our words, and our lives. So yes, tests will come. We all have the tendency to be seen as great. I have done this. Every time you think, I have done this, every time you speak to someone, I have done that too. Just compare. Would Bharat say that? Doing all the work of the king of Ayodhya, would he ever say, I have accomplished this? Or would he go back with tears from his eyes and say, O Ram, this has been done by you. And if anyone were to say, Bharat ki jai, he would say, it is all done by the sandals of Sri Ram. I have done nothing. I am servant. Make that comparison. Then we can understand factually where we are at. Otherwise, without these great souls' examples, we'll think that we're great souls. And that will be a grand illusion. But when we see Raghunath Das Goswami, Srila Prabhupada, Bharat, Gopis, then we understand this is great soul. Let me just be the servant of these great souls. Let me aspire for the wealth within their heart. Inspired by that example, that is the path of perfection. Mahajano yena katha sapanta. One must follow in the footsteps of great souls. There is no other way of understanding God in truth. You can study Vedas, birth after birth after birth. You can memorize Vedas, but you will never understand the truth. But when we follow in the footsteps of the great souls who exemplify the essence of the Vedas, then we are actually in contact with the highest truth. In a few days, we will be celebrating Ram Navami, the glorious appearance day of Lord Sri Ram. All over India, and by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, all over the world, there will be glorious celebrations. What should be our consciousness? We should forever enthrone those sandals of Ram on the throne of our heart and worship them. We should understand that the Lord's descent to the world is His causeless mercy upon us, and the actual purpose of His descent can be understood perfectly when we understand the life and qualities of His devotees. So whatever our position may be, we should not be discouraged. After hearing the example of Bharat, Gopis, and Raghunath Das Goswami, and then investigating the inventory of our own heart's desires, We may feel like jumping out of one of these windows. What is our hope? How could we even go on living when we hear about these people? We should not give up hope. We should not be discouraged. Rather, we should feel, yes, that is the goal of life. That spirit of devotion, that spirit of selfless service, that humility. Trinadapi sunichena tador ivasihishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahadi. 14 years Bharat ruled the world in that spirit, humble like a straw in the street, tolerant like a tree, offering all respect to others and expecting none. In this way, Bharat was constantly chanting Lord Ram's holy name. Our greatest benefit in celebrating Ram Navami, Janamastami, is to understand factually why the Lord appears in this world, and to orchestrate our lives, our families, our everything in pursuance of the ideal. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam praja. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishami masaja. So whatever level we may be on, let us gradually make progress toward our goal. But never, ever lose sight of the goal. Never let material energy from within or without distract our spirit of attention from our goal. Never accept any alternatives. Never accept any substitutes. We may be a long distance away, but let us keep moving forward toward our goal. Because if you take a side road, you will never get to the goal. And the longer you take that side road, the harder it is to get back to the main path, back home, back to Godhead. Prabhupada said, even on the king's highway, there is accidents. So yes, on this path back home, back to Godhead, Maya will present many exits. You know, on highway, yesterday we went from Pune to Bombay. Very nice highway. So nice highway. Perhaps the best in India. It would just be considered an ordinary road in America, but it's the best in India. But personally, I'm happier on the ordinary roads in India than the best roads in America. Why? Because it's closer to all of you. So on this highway, so many exits. And it's not that it's just exit one, exit two, exit three. If you go on the roads in America, the highways, the exits are full of propaganda and advertisements. Between one exit and another on the highways, there will be so many hoardings. Next exit, this restaurant, and there'll be big pictures of the food that they serve. And this exit, and then dancing girls. This is what they show. And then they show the dancing girls driving like this. It's very difficult. You have to keep your eye on the road, but then these things are on the road. At this exit, very comfortable place to sleep tonight. On this exit, a very wonderful cinema house playing this particular famous film. So many attractions. On this road, Disney World. On this road, the Hall of Fame of cricket stars. So there's so many things asking you, come this way, this way, this way. And you go on that road and you're off. So on the royal road of bhakti back home to Krishna, there are so many exits, and with each exit there's so much propaganda. Just take this detour. Actually, this detour will bring you to Krishna faster, but along with it, you'll have these pleasures and these comforts, and you'll have reputation and fame and all of these nice things that really the soul needs to survive in this world. No. Some of us may be driving in an Ambassador, and some of us may be driving in a Mercedes-Benz. Some of us may be driving in a Toyota Qualis. Some of us are rich, and some of us are poor, and some of us are educated, and some of us are uneducated. Some of us are black or white or red or yellow. Some of us are high caste or low caste. These are all different cars we're driving in. But as long as you're on the road, you're going to get there. You're going to get to Krishna. Just stay on the road and keep moving forward. But the only way we could possibly resist all these exits and all the propaganda to take us on these exits is we must be convinced that this is my ideal. This is my aspiration. And that ideal is demonstrated by the great souls. Mahajano yena gatasa panta. So when we hear about the great personalities, we emulate their example, their prayers, their spirit. Queen Kunti amongst women, what an example. How she suffered. And then her sons were made king. She was the mother of the king of the entire planet. All comforts, all facilities, and she's crying, Krishna, Krishna, no, I don't want this, I want you. Trade it all away, just I want you to stay with me, that's all. Even if it means calamities, even if it means exile, whatever it means, I want you only. How many of us could honestly pray to Krishna like Queen Kunti? Even for sannyasis, when we read the prayers of Lady Kunti, our heart shudders. Such renunciation, such a spirit of total love and surrender with nothing for herself. It's glorious. That is our aspiration. So it is to inspire this aspiration, this most noble and sacred ideal, that the Lord descends to this world. So let us, however far away we are, if we just move forward with humility and the proper desire, by Krishna's mercy, he will lift us to the highest realm of consciousness. When Krishna sees we want this ideal more than anything else in all of the universal creation, Krishna will give it to us. By his mercy. It may seem that love of God is so far away, but actually, it's the closest thing there is to you. It's the integral nature of your soul. You are the soul. The love of your soul is you. How could anything be closer to you than the loving nature of yourself? But due to ignorance, it seems so far, far, far away. But never be discouraged. However many times we may fall, like little children, get up and keep walking. However many times we disappoint ourselves by falling victim to our own conditioned nature, do not be discouraged. Learn from our lessons and move forward with humility and with prayer. Prayer for the mercy of the Lord and his devotees. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, Mahabhagavat, he teaches us by revealing his heart. Although he's a totally liberated soul on the highest platform of the gopis Manjari Bhav of Braja, he's revealing his heart of how such a soul feels. He says, I am crippled. I'm trying to walk this path of bhakti, but I'm crippled. I have no capacity to move forward. But the stick of the mercy of the Vaishnavas is my only hope to keep me moving forward. People accuse devotees, why are you using this crutch of the holy names and the Vaishnavas? Why don't you stand up on your own 2 feet? But a devotee's humble. Because no one can stand on their own 2 feet against Maya. Maya is all powerful. It is only by the stick of the mercy of the Lord coming through his devotees that we can possibly stand up. What is that stick? How, through the immense storms of material energy, a stick can keep us moving forward? Because the stick of the mercy of the Vaishnavas is empowered with Krishna's unlimited grace. The mercy of the Vaishnavas is the all-powerful mercy of Krishna that can sustain us in any circumstance of life. That is the teaching of the great souls. And in preparation of Ram Navami, let us meditate on the love and determination of Bharat and make that our standard to evaluate every aspect of our life. I'm sorry for speaking so long. However times I'm sorry, I still do it. And however times I do it, you tolerate me. So what can I say but thank you very much. Through all of you, Srila Prabhupada is so kindly accepting my feeble efforts to serve. Therefore, I am very much dependent on all of you to continue on the path of Krishna consciousness. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Now let us perform Sankirtan.